Can anybody attest to the fact that He has blessed us? Can somebody be obedient right now for the next 30 seconds and give God a praise and a thanks? You can do it sitting down, standing up, whatever you've got to do. But just give God His thanks, His due thanks, and His due praise right now. Lord, we don't want to neglect this. We want to show our thankfulness. And God, we thank You for moving. And Lord, taking the things that we cannot see and making them into something, God, and taking nothing and transforming it into a blessing. We praise You for it, God. I thank You for this congregation. I thank You for Your Spirit. I praise You for the anointing that is moving in this place even now. And we rebuke the hand of the enemy. We curse the hand of Satan. And we bind against his devices that the power of God will overwhelm the enemy. That the trouble that was upon us and quick to get on our tail shall be consumed by the almighty hand of God. For God, we live by Your word, and we know that Your word is true. I feel something going on in this place right now in the name of Jesus. We're not going to wait till the sermon's over. We're going to leave it in Your hands right now, God. And we praise You for Your mighty power. Church, we may lose the vision of the good that God has given us, but the word of God restores vision. It wipes the fog from our eyes that we can see once again. I want to be in that place where I can let God lead me blindly through the troubles of my life. I don't know about you, but I can't do anything about what's in front of me. And I just want Him to take me by the hand and say, I am with you and my word is with you. And if you'll trust in me, I'll lead you through all the things that you cannot see. I'll lead you through the trouble. I'll lead you through the stones. I'll lead you through the scoffers. I'll lead you through those that bring division. I'll lead you through those that bring sickness. I will lead you through the demons and legions that try to attack you. I'll lead you through it all. And if we'll get a hold of that faith, just to hang on to God long enough, you'll begin to see change in your life. I don't know whether to preach or whether to evangelize in this place. I feel the almighty presence of God, and I know this much, that when I finally just close my eyes to my troubles and I finally humble myself before the almighty hand of God and say, Lord, I need you to do this, for without you, God, I am nothing. Without you, Lord, I cannot do this. Some of you are in despair, and I'm here to share that with you. I know that you can't do this. I know that I can't face these battles, but there is a God in heaven who loved you enough to send a son that would die for you, that if you would believe in him, that you would be saved, and if you trusted in him, that you would receive great power endued from on high. Before we read, I just want to remind you that if you read in the scriptures previous to this, they had just had one of the more eye-opening experiences as disciples. For they saw many devils and demons that were within a person by the name of Legion to be cast forth. Needless to say, when you get in a mighty move of God's service like that, there's a lot of questions that might come up as to our faith. I've seen God move mightily. And the question that always comes up in me is, Lord, when am I going to be able and walk with this kind of power and this kind of dominion that when I say something to the mountain, that it begins to move? Lord, when will I be confident enough in me that when I get up in the morning that I'll speak to these mountains, this depression, this attack, this anguish, this confusion, and say, you cannot stay where you are not welcome? When are we going to learn of who we are in God and be as confident as He has called us to be? He said to be ye confident. He said to be ye separated. He meant show something that's alive in you so that other people will be drawn by what you have inside you. We'll read from verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. The Lord has kept this in my spirit all week and through the weekend. And if you weren't here on Friday, you can catch it on the radio pretty soon. We begin to talk about and open up that we have to learn to trust God in the silent times. In the times we don't see it, in the times we don't know when it's coming. That, you know, and I made an analogy that we like to have the McDonald's version of prayer. We want to get down for 20 seconds and put a timer on and say, I need it by this date. And if I don't see it by this date, I'm going to fill out your survey and tell you how bad your service was to me. Or in other words, we question God in the times that he is still making preparation for that which is the perfect will for your life. But I didn't want to leave you just at standing in the silence. I want to give you the knowledge of knowing what to do. We read about the man by the name of Jairus here. He was a lord of his house. He was of high esteem in his community. But most of all, he was a concerned father for his child. There were many praying fathers that you examine in the Word of God. You can go to Job, Abraham, you can go to Joshua, but we're going to read about Jairus tonight. And we're going to examine what he did in the time when he didn't know what to do. As he began to come before Jesus, he was in the midst of a people that was gathered round the previous miracle that had taken place. He was around a crowd of people that had just witnessed the Almighty power. So they were all talking about what good that had came from that miracle. But as you know, just because there's a great church service going on tonight doesn't mean that there's still not a need that is present that Jesus wants to move in. And I want you to know that there'll be times where it's an immediate blessing for those that are in need, but there'll be other times when they have to see God moving through you before they'll ever take the first step. Jairus was a man that was concerned about his daughter, because when he made it to Jesus, as far as he knew, she was still alive. But there was something that happened before he received his blessing. And that's what I want to bring out to you tonight. There are going to be moments when you're in your trial, whether you acknowledge it or not, whether you choose to receive it or not, that God will bring something to encourage your faith. The Lord will bring something to encourage your faith. I was driving down the road the other day, driving in the middle of a storm, and was driving around in this rain, and I'm like, what a terrible day. And I remember driving, and all of a sudden I looked, and the sun had broke forth, and I looked over to the left side of me, and I saw the most beautiful rainbow break from the left side of the horizon. It was a perfect one. It was one you could see all the way from end to end. And I looked over, and I was in the middle of a two-lane road, but I stopped my car. I got my phone out, and I took a picture of that rainbow, and I texted it to my cousin Roston. He said, aren't you glad that once we see the rainbow, we know that we're near something good? The storm is only going to last for a little while, but one day you're going to behold the beauty therein of the encouragement of God. You see, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, there's nights when you feel so low that nobody can help you, that he's coming by, walking in the midst of you, trying to say, come on another step. Come on and believe in me. You might not have the strength to even pray, but he'll still come and reach out to your heart. Don't give up just yet. You might see the Bible laying over there, and you might know that you should read it to get help, but you don't feel like it because you're so far down in the dirt. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. You're so far down in the dirt that nobody can help you, but the Spirit of God will never leave you nor forsake you. That means in the good days when you can praise him, or when you're down in the dirt where nobody sees you and nobody knows, but he still loves you enough to encourage you. The cross was your beginning, but the Holy Spirit is your continuum. You received salvation through the cross, but the Holy Spirit was sent as a comforter unto our troubles. God saw that even though Jesus had walked with the disciples, that even in the moments when he had been taken, they were already denying him. They were already afraid of what people would think about them. And God, seeing the weakness in man needing a fellowship even greater, sent the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Some refer to it as the Holy Spirit. It don't matter to me how you to refer to it. What I want to know is, do you got it? We need this Comforter every day. The Comforter comes forth from a vessel of God in an act of obedience.
So when somebody is offering themselves sincerely in worship, that is when the Comforter is knocking upon your heart to say, will you enter in with thanksgiving? Will you enter in with praise? Will you let me encourage you? I know there's been times I've been so sick that I've just had to lay on the couch and didn't have any help. And my wife, knowing good and well that I needed medicine, would try to give it to me. But I felt so bad that I just said, I can't. Just let me lay here. Just let me lay here. It's not even going to help me anyway. And we can get so low down as a Christian that we've lost all faith. We've lost all encouragement. We don't hear anything anybody's saying. All that we know is that we're hurting. All that we know is that we're suffering. And we don't even receive the good help that's coming by. But when I finally get past old stubborn me, and I finally get past the fact that I can't do it, and I'm just going to lay here until I make my own decision, then I receive the things that other people offer me for help, and then all of a sudden things begin to turn around. There is a reason that the Bible said to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. There is a reason that the Bible talks about the order of the church. For if we didn't need a church, God wouldn't have gave us the roadmap to have one. If we didn't need the presence of one another, He would have never put us in a place to fellowship together. So let's not live our life selfishly like we don't need each other. And let's learn to help each other share this pain. Let's learn to be like that love that Jerry has had, to go forth unto Jesus when we've done all that we know to do. Let's read from verse 43 through verse 48. So the people that were celebrating the previous miracle, unknowing that they were getting in the way of what this man was trying to petition, was getting in the way. So there was a crowd that was built around Jesus. Have you ever seen the way that teenage girls will go after somebody like Justin Bieber? They can't even get outside of the Coliseum to get in their car before they get bombarded with what seems to be crazy-like personalities that are going after something. I was looking at ticket prices for one of the NBA Finals games, Brian. To get on the front row for the next game at the NBA for two tickets is $60,000. And I want you to know that I bet if I go back to look for those tickets, they're gone because somebody bought it. Because they feel like that being in the front row and in front and center in the middle of something, that entertainment is going to suffice for what will make them happy in their life. But entertainment doesn't do it. Pornography is a form of entertainment that is corrupting our nation. It's not going to do it. Social media, if used negatively, is corrupting our nation, teaching our children not even to know how to socialize with people anymore. Technology in general, if we do not monitor and take care of these things, will begin to overtake this world. The average is there's two devices per person. So in the midst of this crowd, another miracle was about to happen. When you read about Luke's writing, he basically was one of the more honest and frank writers in the scriptures. He told it like it was. He said this crowd was overbearing Jairus. He couldn't get to where he could continue his petition. But there was someone else in the midst. There was a woman that had an issue with her body. Their sciences, as best they could tell, was telling her that it was in her blood. And anybody back in the day that was sick, they didn't have a great hospital to put them all in to take care of them. But they saw sickness as a weakness to the person. And literally said, if you're unclean, you get out of our community. If you're unclean, you have no place here. And if you try to come in and act like you're clean, when we find out you're unclean, there will be a grave consequences to you. So Luke wrote about a lady that had spent all that she knew to spend in physicians. And Lord knows probably all the crazies this woman met along the way. And I know that if we all looked at ourselves, we'd laugh about some of the things we've tried to do to fulfill our pleasure. The modern day version of that would be probably talking about people or just lashing out our opinion when we didn't need to. You know, getting in to the things in sinful nature that the enemy so easily brings before us through new mediums today. Let's read it. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched or was made whole. And Jesus said, who touched me? And when everybody denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude that is around you or throng you
and press thee and sayest, who touched me? They're saying, are you serious? How can you recognize that somebody touched you when there's all of these people all up in our grill when we're trying to just walk down the road? But he felt that something had came forth. He felt that a miracle had happened. And if you'll worship God enough, you'll even know when somebody's going to be blessed before they're ever blessed. Sometimes we don't know, but the person that's obeying God, if they just recognize and obey Him, good things can begin to come to pass. So what you have to do, don't count it small. What you have to do, don't count it little, but be obedient, because some people may not even know that what you're doing is helping them. But if you'll just press on, they're going to come out and be somebody that's different in their life.
Verse 46. Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she was embarrassed. She was scared. She came trembling and falling down before him. And she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he spoke to her fears and her embarrassment and her shame, and said these words in verse 48. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace. So you still have Jairus in the midst of this crowd, still trying to fight for his daughter. Some of us tonight are still fighting for those long-term blessings, those long-term moves, those things that don't happen overnight, those things that take execution, that take arranging of God's will, sending of vessels to help others, those things that just cannot happen overnight. So don't be discouraged that when you come in and you obey God to the fullest extent, and then you go home and wake up the next day and feel like the devil's on your back. I want you to know that sometimes the greatest things that are blessing you are still in the works. And I have to declare that to myself every single day. For if I based my life on what I was expecting to see tomorrow, I would be discouraged today. Because within me, I don't see the way that God moves. It defies my senses. It defies my thoughts. It defies everything that I can see. So when the enemy's raging, you better get your eyes off of that and get focused on what God is doing, even though you can't see it, and even though the enemy may make you feel like that in fact it's getting worse. But if you'll be faithful over these things, you'll begin to see God bless you mightily in such a way that you'll come in determined to show others that God is with you. The church today has lost its praise because we give honor to our detriment instead of giving honor to the Lord by our faith. We're so complacent because we complain of what we don't have that we miss out on the moments where God is trying to encourage our faith. He said, daughter, don't be afraid, but be of good cheer. There wasn't anything in the bottom of that garment that caused the miracle, but there was something in that urgency that she had to get just to where she could get a hold of Jesus. If you'll get a sense of urgency to get past the crowd, to get past your fear and your embarrassment, the Lord God of hosts will bless you mightily and encourage your faith and cause you to be greater than the enemy that is after you. I see the enemy right in some of your ears, and I'm declaring unto you tonight that this is going to stop. It's time that the whispers of the devil come to an end. I feel it in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. We command these whispering torments to flee from our mind, and we declare, Lord, oh, show us our rainbows, God. Show us that at the end of this storm, that a blessing's still going to be there. Show us your encouragement. Show us your joy, that we would know and believe that mighty are you, Lord God, to the pulling down of every stronghold. Show us, O God, that it is on its way. Show us, O Lord, that we've not lost all hope. Reveal to us, God, the things that are not as though they are. Show us, Lord, that our children are in your hands. Give us the encouragement of your anointing. God, lead us to be obedient unto your anointing, and help us to not let go in the tough times of our life. And God, I know that greater are you, oh, to help us with all things. And we rebuke the enemy that would try to overtake us.
Right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare, God, you are the healer of the hour, and mighty are you to move in all things. And in the name of Jesus, I pray healing move forth. I believe you, Lord Jesus. Do you feel the presence of the Lord? Do you feel him stirring in this place? I would not let another opportunity of encouragement pass me by. Just close your eyes right now and just let God have what this is that has kept you down for so long. Lord, I need your help with my life. I was praying at my desk the other day, and I simply said, God, I've done all that I can. And if you don't help me, then I'll suffer through this until you do. But I believe that you're my help and you're my strength. And God moved in my life, and he helped me that very hour. And if we'll get that kind of faith, he'll bless us in the immediate, and he'll bless us in the long term. And we won't just be held over by a Sunday feeling, but we'll be held over daily so that we can pull down strongholds. I don't know about you, but I'm seeing the walls begin to come down all around me, because I've finally made up my mind whether the congregation is full or whether I'm all alone. My God is still my God, and he is still my friend, somebody that has never left me. And as long as I live, I want to be faithful that he will move in my life. I don't want to be somebody that calls me a hypocrite, but I want to show that God is real. But you only show the realness of his anointing when you let somebody see your pain, when you let somebody see your struggle, for in that they can see God come forth and be glorified out of you.